Good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you. Still some off sick, but some back with us who were sick. So that's good. That's good. Now, as I told you sometime earlier, today and Thursday, being the last two assemblies that I will be taking this year, I want to talk about things that are happening around us at this time of the year. You can't help noticing, I'm sure, if you're out shopping with Mum, and even if you're not out shopping, if you just pass through one of the towns or the villages, you'll see all sorts of lights hanging up. And we're told that they're put up to celebrate, to mark the birth of the Lord Jesus. Well, I want to speak on that subject today, and I want to tell you that these celebrations that are going on really have nothing to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're going to turn in our Bibles to the New Testament, to 1 Timothy and the chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're looking at what Paul said in the verse 15 of this chapter. Verse 15, and it says, this is a faithful saying. You know, boys and girls, when you open your Bible, what you see before you is true, and you can believe it. What Paul says here of that which he's about to write can be said of all the Bible. This book is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of you accepting it as true, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the verse that I would like to be registered in your heart and mind today. Now, as I said, this is a timely topic because we're surrounded by many evidences and signs of the world supposedly celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many Christians have the most solemn doubts about these celebrations. They wonder, have they really anything to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus? Now, let me say something very simple. Whatever we believe about the Lord Jesus must come from the Bible. You're not allowed to just make up something about Christ and say, well, I believe that. You're not allowed to do that. In the Bible, God reveals Christ to us. And it's only in the Bible that you will find information about the Savior that we can believe without any hesitation. There's a warning to be found at the very end of the Bible about this matter. I'm going to read two verses from the last chapter of the book, that is Revelation chapter 22, and we read these words, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. That surely tells us that God is angry with anybody who adds to what is revealed in the Bible. Then again, it goes on, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. There again, we see that God will not tolerate people tampering, adding to or taking away from what is revealed in the Bible concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the whole truth of God. We cannot add to or take from what God has revealed about himself in his word. Men have done so at every level. The majority of churches in the world, whenever they assemble for worship in those churches, if you were to go in, you could take out a pencil and a notepad and you could start writing down what they're saying and what they're doing and say of that, that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. Because they are saying and doing that which is not recorded in the Scripture, nor does God require them to do these things. They've added. They've taken away from the revelation of the book. And they're worshipping a God who is not the one revealed in the Bible, and they're worshipping this God in a fashion that is not in keeping with what God says in His Word. And boys and girls, at this time of the year especially, we see how men have tampered with the revelation that God has given us of Himself, of His Son, of His wonderful saving mercy in sending the Lord Jesus into the world. This is a time of festivities in which the vast majority of people join in most enthusiastically. Now, those who do that to a very large degree never darken a church door, never read the Bible. The only time they use the name of the Lord Jesus is as a curse and a blasphemy. But at this time of the year, they're all excited, supposedly, in their celebrations of the birth of the Holy One. And they celebrate His birth by the greatest indulgences in unholiness. And that tells us there's something seriously wrong with the activities that take place today in this world to supposedly mark the birth of Christ. Well, I want to say something about the birth of Christ. I want to tell you what the Bible says. And I want you to ever bear that in mind, so that for the rest of your life, when you think about the birth of Christ, you think about what the Bible has to say. Now, I'm going to say one particular thing and then develop that, open it up. And what it is I want to say is that in truth, there is nothing specifically, directly stated in the Bible about when Jesus was born. You can search the Bible from Genesis right through to the book of Revelation, and you will not find December the 25th mentioned. You'll not find it mentioned. No date is given in the Bible specifically, directly, as to when Jesus was born. So you can't turn up a verse and say, there you are. It tells us when Jesus was born. Now, that's not to say that we can't study our Bibles and compare one verse with another verse and put them together and come to the conclusion as to when, approximately, the Lord Jesus was born. But you do have to do a little bit of searching to work out when it was the Savior was most likely born. Now, that being so, God having not given us specifically and directly information as to when the Savior was born, we can conclude that He didn't particularly want us to know when He was born. And He didn't particularly want us to have a big celebration. Oh, every day of the year we should rejoice that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But there's no particular time of the year that God wants us to say Jesus was born on this day. I have heard Christian radios playing what is called a Christmas carol, part of which says, on this day the Savior was born. And it's a lie, because they're talking about the 25th of December. He wasn't born on the 25th of December. I might not be able to tell you exactly when He was born, but I can tell you exactly when He wasn't born. It wasn't the 25th of December. So, that's what we're going to look at for a little while today. As I said, there are a number of circumstances recorded in the Bible that would give us a clear indication as to the time of the year when the Lord Jesus did come into this world, when He was born. Now, let's start off with one of the best known events surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus. The shepherds watching their flocks by night in Bethlehem. It's recorded in Luke chapter 2. It's a lovely, lovely chapter. You should go home and read it. And think of those men sitting there, probably round a fire, in the night time, guarding their flock. When suddenly the heavens opened and a host of angels were made visible, and they were singing and rejoicing. And one of them came and said, "This day there is born in Bethlehem
a Savior,
Christ the Lord." And then the angels withdrew, and the heavens closed over, and it was night again. And the shepherd said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what it is we have just been told." And off they went. And sure enough, they found the Lord Jesus, just a little babe, lying in a manger. And they saw Mary, his mother, and they saw Joseph, the husband of Mary. And they worshipped the Lord Jesus. They didn't worship Mary, nor did they worship Joseph. They worshipped the Lord Jesus, and they went away rejoicing that they had seen the Savior of the world, and that they had been given the privilege of being the first to welcome him. That was a wonderful privilege. You know, it wasn't kings, or princes, or princesses, or emperors, or great men that had this news brought to them by the angels, but shepherds, working men, simple men. And they were the first. Now, we're told that they were in the fields watching over their flocks by night. And I can tell you now that they would not have been in the fields on the 25th of December, because it would have been winter time. And winter time in Israel is a time of pretty severe weather. If Christ came on the 25th of December, the sheep would all have been indoors, gathered in at night time. Oh, they would have been out in the fields during the day. But at night time they were brought in, for it was very, very cold. Very, very cold. So, here we have an indication of when the Savior was born that clearly indicates that it wasn't in the middle of winter. It wasn't the 25th of December. Now let me tell you, boys and girls, that winter time in Israel is much colder than you would imagine. You will have friends who have been to Israel, I'm sure. And they will have shown pictures and told you about being there. And when they went there, it was June, July, August, and they would have told of the heat. Dr. John Douglas regularly takes a tour to Israel every year. And one of the things that he does is when the party is out in their buses, air-conditioned buses, in other words, there's nice cool air circulating in the buses, he goes down to the south of Israel toward Egypt. And he gets the bus drivers to stop. And then he says, "Everybody out!" And they get out. And within seconds of getting out, they're sweltering with the heat down in the south of Israel, near to Egypt. And he says, "I want you just to know something of the temperatures that Israel had to endure when they left Egypt and wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. This is what it was like." And that's a good lesson for folk to learn. Because when they're reading of the wanderings of Israel, they have greater sympathy for them when they realize the heat that they endured from day to day in their wanderings. Oh yes, we know that in the summertime it's very, very warm in Israel. But in the wintertime, oftentimes it's very, 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 very cold. And I've even seen pictures of snow in Jerusalem in the wintertime. But the Bible supports this view of there being cold times in Israel in the wintertime. If we turn to the book of Proverbs, those of you who can find your way there, Proverbs, and it's the chapter 31, very end of the book, and there we read about the virtuous woman, and God reveals to us many things about this virtuous woman, this good woman. And for you girls, it's worthwhile you studying her. Here is someone that you should seek to be like. Now, one of the things it says about this virtuous woman is told us in verse 21. Verse 21. It says, "She is not afraid of the snow." Oh, didn't I tell you there's snow in Israel at times? "And the virtuous woman is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet." All her household, because of the diligence of this lady, have clothes suited for winter time and for snow. In actual fact, those who are experts in the Hebrew language would suggest to us that the word clothed there means double wrapped. Now, when you came to school today, you were wrapped. You're wrapped at the minute, wrapped in your school uniform. Ah, but on the way here, you had a coat on as well. You were double wrapped. And why were you double wrapped? Because it's cold. It's cold. I certainly had my scarf on this morning and my top boot. Because in winter time you need to be double wrapped. And this lady, her household wasn't afraid of the snow that comes to Israel in the winter time, because they were well prepared. She had made clothing suitable for the cold. It's cold in Israel in the winter time, and sheep would not have been outside at night. They would have been inside. Then again, we refer to Luke's Gospel, the chapter 2. We were told that an idea entered into the mind of the ruler of the great Roman Empire. Now, he was a godless man. He had no thought of God, no knowledge of God, blind and ignorant. But God put a thought into his mind. And in Luke chapter 2, and the verse 1, we read, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree," an order, a command, "from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed." A couple of wee things need to be explained there. When it says all the world, it means all of his world, all of the Roman world, all of the world that he ruled over, which would have included Israel and quite a few other countries, because Rome had conquered these countries by their armies. Well, he sent out a command to all of the countries over which he ruled that they should be taxed. What that means is he said, "I want a list of all the people that live in the countries over which I rule." It wasn't so much a collecting of money as we think of today when we speak about taxing, but it was accounting. A polling is the term that we could use of all the citizens that there were in the territories ruled over by Rome. Now, if this man issuing this command gave any thought to what it was he was asking, he would know that telling them to travel from wherever they lived to their hometown, the place of their birth, is not a command that he would issue in the middle of winter. Some parts of the Roman Empire, in the middle of winter, you could hardly have got out of the door. I once had the wonderful privilege of visiting the mountainous areas of Italy. And I can tell you this, in the middle of winter, you would not have travelled far in that area, because you've been up to here in snow, huge snowfall. And consequently, people couldn't travel at such a time. So, Caesar Augustus would not have issued this command. "I want everybody to travel to their hometown, the place where they were born, in order to register their names so that I know all the citizens that live in my kingdom, my empire." He would not have issued that command if it required them to travel in the middle of winter. That's another indication of when it was the Lord Jesus was born. Or maybe I should say, it's another indication of when he wasn't born. He wasn't born in the middle of winter as a result of a command for Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem, their hometown. No. Travel in the winter time was not easy. And I have proof of that from the Bible. First and foremost, in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, didn't I tell you if you wanted to find indications as to when the Lord Jesus was born, you had to do a bit of studying and searching? And we've been to Proverbs, we have been to Luke chapter 2, now we're at Matthew, the chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, the verse 15, the Lord Jesus is warning his disciples that at the end of the age, there's going to come upon Israel a dreadful time of persecution. A dreadful time of persecution. There is going to arise one called the Antichrist, And he's going to take up residence for the time in Jerusalem. And when he does, that's going to be a time of trouble. Look at what verse 15 of Matthew chapter 24 says. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Here's the sign that the time of real trouble is about to begin. An image is going to be raised up in the temple that the Jews will yet build in Jerusalem. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. There are times when it's right to run away. Never forget that. And here the Lord is saying, when you see this idol being set up by that wicked ruler known as Antichrist, set up in the temple which the Jews will build, then you run for the mountains, places of hiding. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. That's how urgent the matter is. People sometimes have house fires. Somewhere in the house a fire breaks out and they have to get out. But very, very often before they get out they grab a few things. Their wallet, their watch, their phone, maybe even a few family pictures that they don't want to be destroyed. They have time to do that. But the Lord says, when you see this sign, don't stop to even pick up anything. Look, it says you're to, in your fleeing away, you're not to pick up anything in the house. If you happen to be up on the housetop, which was quite a common place for people in Israel to be. Housetop, flat roof, it's like a veranda. It's where you'd go and sit and have a cup of coffee. Well, if you happen to be doing that and you hear word of this idol being set up on the temple, then get off the rooftop as soon as you can. Don't stop to pick up anything and run for the mountains. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. What do farmers do when they're out on a warm day and they're doing some work in the field? The first thing they do is take off their coat, their jacket. Maybe take off a sweater, it's that warm. And they'll fold them up and set them at the edge of the field. Well, the Lord says, if when you're working in the field you hear news of what has happened in the temple, you don't even stop to pick up your jersey at the edge of the field, but you run. That's how urgent the matter is. That's how great is the danger that's facing the people as a result of this outbreak of persecution. Verse 19, woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days. Ladies who have little babies, woe unto them, because they'll not be able to run as fast as they might need to. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Why should they pray that? This event will not happen in the winter time, because travel would be difficult. And you couldn't run with the same ease that you would be able to run if it was summertime. And then the mention of the Sabbath day, well, in Israel at the present time there are regulations regarding travel on the Sabbath day. And there are parts of Jerusalem, for instance, you're not allowed to travel on the Sabbath day. The people living there are Orthodox Jews and, that have a riot if you broke their rules on the Sabbath day. And there's a time coming when Jerusalem will once again be under strict Levitical rules, and you'll not be allowed to travel any distance on the Sabbath day. That's why the Lord says, pray that it'll not be on the Sabbath day. But he links it with, pray that it'll not be in the wintertime. Because travel in the wintertime is difficult. That's another reason why we may conclude that the Lord Jesus wasn't born, as the world believes, on December the 25th. You know, these two considerations. Caesar wouldn't tell his people they had to travel in the middle of winter, and the Savior telling us that travel in wintertime is difficult is another evidence that the Lord Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. And one thing in closing. I believe that God, who is over all, and who was sovereign over the actions of men, even a man like Caesar, who didn't know God. But it was God who, in his wonderful power, put it in the mind of Caesar to issue this decree, which brought about Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem, and the Savior being born there, in fulfillment of the prophecies going back hundreds and hundreds of years, that God had spoken through his servants, that Bethlehem would be the place where the Savior would be born. But I don't think God would have put that into the mind of Caesar and brought about that journey to Bethlehem by Mary at a time of year when the mother of the Lord Jesus would have been forced to travel in very difficult circumstances. The Lord wouldn't have done that. In his kindness, he would have brought about that journey to Bethlehem in much nicer conditions than those which exist in Israel in the wintertime. There is no one more caring, more loving, more tender than our Heavenly Father. And such would have been his love for Mary that he wouldn't have caused her more distress by having her journey in the middle of the cold and severity of wintertime. We have evidences of God's care for the infant Jesus. And I can only suggest you look very, very, very quickly at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and we'll close with these verses. Matthew chapter 2, and the verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Now, there's the Lord taking care of the infant Jesus, who had been born in Bethlehem and at that time was in Bethlehem. Because God knew that Herod was going to try and kill him. And the first thing he did was to tell the wise men, don't you go back to Herod and let him know where the Savior was born. Go home another way. And they did that. And then the Lord sent a message to Joseph, take the mother and the child away to safety. Bring them down into Egypt. And if you look even further down the chapter to the verses 19 and 23, you see that after a period of time, old Herod died. And the Lord said, now come up out of Egypt and back home to Israel. But the son of Herod is a wicked man, and he's a threat, so don't go back to Bethlehem. And they began to live in Nazareth, which was quite a distance away from Bethlehem. That's God taking care of the baby Jesus. And we can conclude from that God taking care of the baby Jesus, he wouldn't have asked the mother of the Lord Jesus to travel in a hazardous time, even winter time. So we can conclude that the Lord Jesus wasn't born, as men commonly believe, on the 25th of December. We've looked today at the evidence that tells us and suggests to us when the Lord Jesus wasn't born. On Thursday, in the will of the Lord, we're going to look at some verses that indicate to us when Jesus was born, because the Bible does set those truths out for us. But that will be on Thursday in the will of the Lord when I come with you once again. May the Lord bless his word to your heart. And boys and girls, don't join in the world's celebrations. Celebrations born of ignorance, born of rebellion and rejection of the Bible. Let's bow in prayer. Take our thanks, Lord, for your word. And we thank thee today we do not join in the wickedness of men in their supposed celebration of the birth of Christ, but Lord, with joy of heart and with holy intentions, we rejoice every day that God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. Bless the school. Take care of the ones that are at home sick. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.